Will House please come to order? Will the members please show their attendance by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please take the roll?
Thirty-five present, five absent.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Metcalf and Representative O'Connell are excused from the call today. Representative Randolph is excused until playing time today. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Brown be excused from the call till playing time today.
If there's no objection, Representative Brown will be excused from the call of the House until playing time today. The prayer today is by Pastor Curtis McLean of the Glacier Valley Baptist Church. Will the members please rise for the prayer?
Dear Lord, we want to be like you. It matters not if we are a legislative body or a church, because we know that someday we will answer to you for everything we do. But in trying to be like you, help us not to play God.
We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.
Representative Guy. There's no objection. The prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the chief clerk please certify as to the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 76th and 77th days in House Journal Supplement number 37.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journals for the 76th and 77th days in the House Journal Supplement number 37 be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
There's no objection. The journal and the journal supplements will be approved. Are there guests for introduction today? Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I have a number of guests from Sitka. They're Leipzig Junior High School. They're over watching the government in action. They're John Bart, Kevin Beard, Teresa Brusato, Melanie Clare, Emily Gordon, Tim Grusendorf, Marin Havig, Mac McGowan, and with them is their teacher, Harvey Brandt.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, you and I have a sort of a special guest here today, a constituent from Thorn Bay, a young lady who's the Rural Student Vocational Program will be acting as a page for the next couple of weeks, Stephanie Holcomb.
Are there further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to standing committees?
The Committee on Labor and Management has had House Joint Resolution 35 relating to interstate claims for unemployment benefits under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 35 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Hurlburt, Chairman, concurred in by Hurlburt, Rogers, Munson, McKinnon, and Miller. House Joint Resolution number 35 has no further referral. The Committee on Labor and Management has had House Bill 214, which was re-referred to them, under consideration. It's relating to unemployment insurance. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendment number 2. The report was signed by Mr. Hurlburt, Chairman, concurred in by Hurlburt, Bettesworth, Hayes, and Branson. Miller signed do pass if other amendment. House Bill 214 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
House Concurrent Resolution number 19 by Parker, directing the legislature to carry out a study of minority relations.
Yes.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
No, Mr. Speaker.
That brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Representative Anderson.
Would be at ease, please.
House Police Entities. The House please come to order. House Police Entities. The House please come back to order. Will the Chief Clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 394 by Duncan Phillips and Munson, an act relating to community schools. The Committee on HESS has set House Bill 394 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends that it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 394 with a new title and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, concurred in by Munson, individual recommendations. Munson signed do pass, Chatterton signed do pass if amended, Buchholz signed do pass if amended, signing no recommendation, Barnes and Miles. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Now, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Hess Committee substitute for House Bill number 394 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. The Hess Committee substitute will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there any amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Hess Committee substitute for House Bill number 394 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Committee substitute for House Bill number 394 will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill on third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 394 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to state aid for community schools and providing for an effective date.
Is there a debate? Representative Miles.
Just brief explanation, Mr. Speaker. We ran into the 60-day problem on the bill. The committee substitute is substantially different than Representative Duncan's original bill. There are a number of schools in the community school program who, according to statute, would be dropping off. They'd be losing their funding because they're going beyond their fourth year, which the statute currently provides for. Because there were a number of legislative and administrative proposals to change the community schools program, some of which came in fairly late in the session, we settled on a compromise that has been signed off by the various legislators in the Hess Committee and the administration, so that everything essentially stays as is through the end of FY80. No school will be reduced in funding whatsoever. They'll have either last year's level of appropriation or greater if they're entitled to that under the statute. And it's just in recognition that the program should continue. Everybody wants to see it continue. The just question is to the exact way it should continue. That will work out beginning of next session.
So further debate. Question for the House is the final passage of committee substitute for House Bill 394. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
Yeas, no nays, 5 not voting.
Committee substitute for House Bill 394 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on Hess Committee substitute for House Bill number 394 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call on final passage will be shown as the roll call on the effective date clause. Members, Representative Buchholz.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Is it time to move my intent on 394?
This is the time.
Okay, thank you. As I said before, the intent now is printed in your journal, page 806, and it merely states what the Health Committee wanted to do with the community schools program if we had more time. So I hope that this body had time to look at the intent. So at this time, I want to move that and ask unanimous consent that the intent on House Bill 394 be adopted by this body.
Motion before the body is for the House to adopt the, as the House intent, the letter of intent on House on page 808 of the House Journal, the letter of intent from the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. Will the House please stand at ease? The House please come to order. Is there any further objection? If there's no further objection, the letter of intent of the House Education and Social Services Committee on House Bill 394 will be adopted as the House intent. On the next bill, the third bill down is the House Committee substitute. It's not the first bill in the package. The third bill down is the Resources Committee substitute. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
Senate Bill No. 71 amended by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to issuance of free permanent licenses for senior citizens and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Resources has had Senate Bill 71 amended under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 71 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, co-chairman, concurred in by Chatterton, Eliason, Fuller, Jaroff, Osterbach, and Carney. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 71 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
If there's no objection, the Resources Committee substitute will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 71 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
If there's no objection, House Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 71 will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Will the clerk please read the bill on third reading?
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 71 by the Resources Committee. An act relating to annual free hunting, trapping, and sport fishing licenses for senior citizens and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The current law just allows the people who are 60 years of age and resident for 30 consecutive years or more to engage in these activities without licenses. And could somebody explain how the mechanism in the bill would work? The original bill said that they shall issue a license without charge, which is a change in the current law. Now, under the House bill, there's an ID card, apparently, that's set up. Could a person, could somebody explain how that system's supposed to work and how these are going to be issued in the areas of the state where there aren't any permanent state revenue offices?
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Right now we have a situation where the department does issue permanent ID cards for those over 60 years of age. I think Representative Osterbeck made the classic case of showing his committee. But the problem we have is, and happened in Mr. Osterbeck's case and other cases, is this isn't a license. It's an ID card that brings the individual in conformance with the law, but on the licenses, there's actual punch areas where the licenses can be punched for taking of certain game. Without that punch, there's no way that the various departments involved can keep an adequate count on what game is taken. I think we all realize that that's tremendously important. So the way this law is proposed in the House Committee substitute is that there will be a permanent identification card issued, but also annually the person holding the permanent identification card will get a free license, so that the person can at least be tracked by the department, and each time he takes a moose or X count of fish, those can be punched on the license, and that way the department can continue to at least have a handle on what's being taken and where.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, on the mechanics of this thing, a question to Mr. Miles. Does this mean that the person has to apply for the license? Do they send it to you automatically, or just how will that work?
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, it's my understanding that once a person has this ID card, he can just go into any vendor and with that ID card show that he's eligible for the free license.
Representative Rogers.
Yeah, do you know how many, does anyone know how many people this might affect?
Representative Halford.
I think the department said approximately 2,500 people.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I don't want to brag about this, but I happen to have one of these cards myself. I'm and what it says simply on the air, and I'll read it to you, says a person described on the reverse side has certified that the provisions of Alaskan law stated in AS 1605-400B have been met and is qualified to hunt, trap, and sport fish without a license as long as he or she remains in Alaska. And I went past the 60-year a little bit before I finally applied for mine. It was kind of handy, and I'm not so sure that I never did really object to paying the license fee. It was just always a problem that I seemed to be busy and never get around to get it till the day I wanted to go hunting and or fishing or something, and it was too late. And I take exception to the fact that that these people have to go and apply for these things. All you're talking about then is it's more than just the money; it's the inconvenience of it. And I wouldn't object if there was some manner in which they automatically sent you these things, or however they would handle it. But it seems to me that if we're, as the trend has been in Alaska for some years, in which I'm very proud, and that is to make things a little easier for the older people. I think you're kind of taking a step backward here, and I have some serious doubts if it's worth the inconvenience that you're causing.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm similar to the thinking of Representative Freeman in that, although it was mentioned, same question, I had 2,500 people. I doubt if there's that many that will apply for such a license. I think it's great if that many over 60 are out able to go hunting and fishing. It's shows our society is doing something right. But the thing looks rather cumbersome, and since we have other programs that allow people, when they meet this magic age, to take advantage of, like our longevity program, I'm wondering if something like this could not be incorporated with that special privileges for our senior citizen. Also, I'm very concerned if someone can give an explanation of another paper due at the bottom on line 21, we're going to shuffle $1 back and forth, but that $1 is going to cost probably $25 plus per applicant to get the $1 to the individual who gave the license. Generally, I feel this is going to make a whole little boondog or paperwork for someone and not really benefit the people. Thank you.
Representative Osterbeck.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. The problem that bothers me after we pass this bill out is saying you get a ID card with your picture on. Let's use a couple of communities that what I have. If we put this in the statutes that you have to have a picture, the Commissioner of Public Safety said it won't cost us anything. We can use his office free. But to get somebody down from Atka or Nikolsky, it's about a $2,400 charter just so far as Sandpoint. And then another $300-$400 or more to come down here to get your picture and your permanent card. And I'll agree with Freeman. I got one of them cards too. And the reason I got it, I went hunting to Cold Bay one year, and if I wasn't a legislator, I would have been arrested because they had people from all over the world hunting geese. And that's about the first time I went goose hunting in about 4 or 5 years since I got in the legislature. When I went to Sandpoint, I filled out the papers and with the vendor there. And after I got them all filled out, she looked my age. She said, no, you can't buy a license. Well, I said, how do I go hunting? She said, your license is free. But if they don't think you're 60 years old, they'll haul you in or they won't let you hunt. So when I came back next year, I got my card, the same one Freeman got there. And that seemed to work pretty good now. But I don't know if we're doing a good thing for the elderly people, the senior citizens, or we're just going to make it so they can't get the permits. If they have to have their picture on, it's going to be, you're going to take their privilege away from them, unless they will accept a photograph that you send in the mail from some of my communities. And that's what all I got to say on.
Representative Halford.
Yeah, just to answer some of the questions, number one, there's no picture required. Number two, I should say that we have a potential conflict of interest in that my wife does hold a vendorship at our place of business. The problem you have is that you can't have somebody come in under the existing statute. They don't even have to have the card that they're talking about. They come into us to get a license, and there's no way that we know that they meet the qualifications. The result is that they don't get the big game tags, which are still required. They aren't exempted under this provision. The big game tags are written on the back of your annual license by number, and this is a way that the department can tell how many tags that you've got. As I say, there's no picture required. There's no additional cost, because this is a program where all the licenses that are issued, in the case of the 25-cent license, in the case of the other licenses, in the case of the tags, is a report that the vendor fills out and sends in. They retain a certain portion of it, and all this would be is when they send the report in, the amount sent back through the department would reflect the number of these tags or these resident free licenses issued. But it is a very definitely valuable tool in terms of the department in being able to keep track of big game tags. If somebody comes to me with one of these cards, or comes to our business with one of the cards, it's difficult for us to issue them a numbered moose tag, because there's no place to write that number down. If they don't have a license, they could go from vendor to vendor and pick up all the moose tags they wanted. This way they come in, they get a license, it's got the numbers of the tags that they've got, and it gives Fish and Game a way to keep track of how many tags they're issuing. Thank you.
Representative Meekins.
I really hesitate to get involved in a Fish and Game bill on Monday morning, but I have a couple questions I'd like answered. One is, in Section 2, if we are working off of House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 71, I assume, one with several sections to it, on line 27 on page 1 says that currently, I guess, you get 25 cents, the vendors get 25 cents or 5%, whichever is greater. I don't know which one is operative there, maybe, and I'm wondering why the other one is a dollar. Is that because the 5% is equal to a dollar? And in addition to that question, it seems to me that most of the places that sell these, and maybe I'm wrong, are stores or some kind of operations that have something to do with hunting and fishing. And I'm wondering why, with the small amount of small numbers of people that would be influenced by this bill here, why we can't just have them do it as a service to their customers.
Representative Halford.
As a vendor and with a conflict of interest, I was not the person that proposed this. I don't think we've ever sold one of these before, and I think the possible implications might be something in the tune of $5 a year. I have no objection if we drop the whole section that adds the $1 in there. It's no problem with me. It was something that was added by another member of the Resources Committee.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, it's my understanding that the reason the vendor gets a percentage of the fee is for his cost of doing business. And I think that when they get, if they have one of these cards, they get hunting, trapping, and fishing, and that's around $20, I think, and it's $25, so they rounded it off to 5% of $20 would be $1, right? So that's what it's there for.
So further debate. The question before the House is the final passage of House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 71. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
Twenty-six yeas, 10 nays, 4 not voting.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 71 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, lacking 27 votes, I move the effective date clause.
The question before the House, the effective date clause on Senate Bill number 71. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
36 yeas, no nays, 4 not voting.
Effective date clause has been adopted. Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I give notice for reconsideration on House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 71.
Representative Freeman has given notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 71. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
Citation commending the participants in the Matanuska snow emergency by Senator Curtula.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move approval of the citation.
If there is no objection, the citation will be approved by the House. Will the clerk please read the next item? Representative Guy. House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
Citation in memory of Frank E. Gagnon by Senator Curtula.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move approval of the citation.
There's no objection. Citation will be approved. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Citation honoring Anchorage Bike Shop basketball team by Senator Coletta.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move approval of the citation.
There's no objection. The citation is approved by the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Citation commending Specialist Michael Quinton and Sergeant Clarence Thomas by Senator Kelly.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move approval of the citation.
There's no objection. The citation will be approved. It completes the calendar for today. Are there any items of unfinished business? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Guy be excused from the call of the House April 25th through May 5th.
There's no objection. Representative Guy will be excused on those dates. Under unfinished business, House Bill 214 was passed out of the Labor and Management Committee. There will be a finance referral added to the bill. It's House Bill 214, Unemployment Insurance. Are there any other items of unfinished business? Special orders. Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a Democratic caucus immediately after adjournment.
Democratic caucus upon adjournment. Representative Miller.
Speaker, at 1:30 this afternoon, we'll have four pieces of legislation. SB 202, special appropriation to Fairbanks International Airport. SB 203, revenue bonds for international airports. SCR 2, permanent part-time positions in state government. CS for SCR 11, hazardous condition, the Glen Highway, Muldoon. Speaker, I might announce at this time, too, that earlier last week I had indicated that we'd probably be holding our AGSOC meetings Monday and Thursday this week, but it's turned out there is a conflict on Monday night that makes it impossible for us to meet, so that meeting will be Tuesday and Thursday. The Tuesday meeting will be about 7:30, and the Thursday, also trying to accommodate other conflicts, will be at 5 o'clock.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary meet 3 this afternoon. We have Senate Bill 104 amended, establishing a Court of Appeals.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resources will meet today at 3 to continue its work on land disposal program.
Representative Hurlburt.
Mr. Speaker, House Labor Management will be meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning in the Bradley Room, be taking up House Bill 246, an act relating to workers' compensation. House Bill 406, an act establishing credit against the state income tax and providing employment in areas of the state suffering from economic hardship. Senate Bill 23, an act relating to unemployment insurance coverage for employees of the state and its political subdivisions. And what we don't get through with on Tuesday, we'll be taking up of these bills Thursday morning. This will be at 8 o'clock in the morning. Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. HES Committee will meet at 1 p.m. this afternoon. House Bill 411, Sex Discrimination in Education, and House Bill 86, Practice of Veterinary Medicine. We're hoping that we will move out this bill, the second one, House Bill 86. So I don't know what the prime sponsor has in mind. Warning to the prime sponsor.
Are there other committee announcements? Representative Munson.
The Commerce Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock and we'll be taking action on Senate Bill 125, Special Appropriation to Bethel Radio Station, and Senate Bill 11, amended purchasing by state agencies.
Are there further announcements? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, there's no other business to come before the House. I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. The House is adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.